This week on RSVB Update, we got a bundle of clan QOL fixes, but the main focus is on the impending Hunter modernization project. We run through the rationale, why this is fixing a bad design, and what to expect in July, plus a recap of a prophetic RSVB Informer article. This is RSVB Update, episode 723, recorded Thursday, May 9th, 2019. Getting butterflies. Hello, everybody, and thank you for joining us for another episode of RSVB Update. Just Tannis and myself here this week. And, of course, welcome back to all of our wonderful listeners. Good to be back with you as well, Tannis.
Well, thank you, Shane. Yeah, it's we thought we were having a little quiet week here, and turns out...
No.
Maybe not.
And you know, it all ultimately comes down, I think, to one simple word. And you know, we can boil this down. We've talked about it before, and you know, we've made jokes about it before. Courage. Only going back to when Apple removed the headphone jack, and that's kind of become a running meme on the show, and it's something that we've wanted to see happen for a while. But we'll get into that. We also have some rather big tech news this week in the Google front, and it'll be interesting to gauge our opinions on that. And one of the biggest skills in game, a skill that's been around since 2006, is getting a rework. And, you know, we could be completely honest, and that's, you know, this is a full rework for the skill. It's just being branded a bit differently, but we'll talk about that later. So we're actually going to start this week with the smallest part of this week, and that is, yes, I mean, I'm saying clan... quality of life improvements are small, but they're small compared to what else we got on the docket later on. So with that being said, a number of changes have been brought forward to the clan system this week, including first and foremost a special broadcast that will fire every 3 months during your first year here with your clan, and then every year afterwards on your clanniversary, as they're calling it, it will fire again. I should be getting one of these very soon in... Clan Quest. I think I joined that organization about 4 years ago at this point. That's amazing how time flies like that.
Yeah, it gets away from you, doesn't it?
It certainly does. It certainly does. And I even at this point have to do the calculation in my head how many years we've been doing this podcast, believe it or not, of all things. That is an anniversary that's actually coming up in June. June 12th was the first episode of RSVB Update. Ever. Oh, so, wow. I mean, we got lots of stuff on that front happening. But in any case, let's carry on with this. Discord and Invention have been added to the various clan keywords. RuneScape 2007 has been renamed to Old School RuneScape in the clan keyword system. When you view a clan's notice board, the title will now be of the clan itself, as well as the clan info interface has been refreshed, and it now shows in the more modern RSUI style compared to the one that goes back many years into the past. And, you know, I think they needed to do this with mobile and whatnot. And you can see the difference between the two right here on the news post. So fun thing for clans that are really old, like Clan Quest, it actually shows the creation date as January 1st, 1970. I'm not exactly sure. I don't exactly know why that's the case. Well, I mean, I do know why it's the case.
I think I missed that in the literature.
Yeah. So what happens, it just means that there's no date for some reason of when it was created, because internally in all these systems, there's something called a Unix timestamp. And this is just a number that starts at zero on December 31st, 1969 at 11:59 p.m. and 59 seconds, making, of course, January 1st, 1970, the first second of the year, timestamp one. And then that's just been incrementing up ever since. So that's why the date has been rounded to January 1st, 1970, because there is no date in there. That timestamp variable is probably set to zero. That's how you get January 1st, 1970. If you ever see that online, it's because a timestamp is missing. So, and it's just counting up. It's counting up, and it's been going up ever since. And We're actually going to have a rather interesting problem with that in 2038, because that is when the timestamp will cross the 4 billion mark, which means that there's not going to be enough numbers in the integers that's commonly used to hold that. So,
hey, I lived through Y2K.
Well, yeah, we'll find a way for the
water and some ammo. We were cool. Nothing happened.
We'll find it. So as an example for right now, recording on May 9th, the current Unix timestamp is 1,557,455,172. So that's the current Unix timestamp.
So what you're saying is before 2038, sell wands?
Yeah. There's going to need to be a major engine update to RS before 2038.
All right.
The Vexilim option has been removed from the notice board. Edit interface, clan event reminder notifications have been updated to include more info about the upcoming events, and an event notification message will fire when an event has been running for 30 minutes. That's good. You know, we do need to revitalize clan events. I don't know if it's just our clan or if it's yours or if there's ever been
no,
an issue with events.
I just think the style of gameplay has changed. I think people just play a little bit different than they did.
Yeah.
And it's when you think about it, having clan events is a very difficult prospect when you're dealing with a game where you have friends all over the world. Like, that's one of the coolest things about this game. It's kind of neat to say I have friends literally all over the world, but it's really hard to, you know, all get together at the same time, do something.
Indeed. And, you know, another issue that I've found recently is that, you know, hey, if we're hosting an event and people are online and they have limited time and they are working towards a goal, they're going to be less likely to come because they don't want to give up that XP. So that's another issue I've run into in the past.
Yeah.
You're also now able to view the job title of a clan member by hovering over their rank in clan chat. That's nice. So if you have event organizers or previously avatar wardens, something to that effect, you can see what those are now. Our clan really doesn't use those that much.
Yeah, I didn't. Neither one uses them, so I never paid much attention. I was like, what is a job? When I had saw that earlier this week, I'm like, what's a job?
Yeah. The clan log will also be updated to show last week's visitor and capped count. And for the latter to work, your citadel must have been rebuilt since this update. So that'll be ticking over as of this past Wednesday at reset once that happened. Clans can also set total level requirements for joining their clan. And if a player is invited who doesn't meet that requirement, they won't be able to join. But if an owner invites that player, it will bypass the check. Now, some similar changes in the chat section for this. You can now view information of the clan you're guesting in by clicking the I button. And this will, of course, pop open the standard clan interface that we just showcased not too long ago. Also, if you're guesting in a clan chat, you'll receive notifications so you know when their events are starting.
I like that.
Yeah, it's good because, hey, that's cool. You might say, hey, join our clan chat for this event happening at Saturday at 14:30. So There's also a pin system so that you can stop uninvited guests from entering the clan. And if the pin has changed, anyone who is a guest that was guesting in chat will need to re-enter the pin in order to join the chat again. And you can also set total level requirements for guesting in your clan chat. And they say this is to stop new accounts from being made to flame clan chats. I've never had
best.
That problem.
Really? No.
This
is the best update of the whole batch. Like, that one is I think it's way more important than the whole. I mean, you've never had people like start flaming the clan chat, like coming in with like alts and making new accounts, and like never had that. Oh yeah, man, it can get nasty out there. It can get nasty out there.
Wow.
No, that's a really like it's a really good change. It's a really good change.
All right. But that's pretty much it for the clan updates this week. General reminder that the Song of Saren is happening from May 10th to May 13th at 12 noon it starts. So by the time you guys are hearing this, Song of Saren will be active May for 10th. That 1.5 times XP. Yeah, 1.5 times XP. Or sorry, May
you
10th.
Know, the thing about that is the voice of Saren or Song of Saren doesn't include Slayer, does it? I think it does.
No, and I see why you're asking that, because we do have this thing called a Slayer contest going, but you can get extra charms.
Yeah. I'm going to be pulled in a million directions, Shane. Won't be like a rubber man.
All Slayer tasks will have VIP tickets, though.
Oh.
So that's
cool.
So that's good, right?
Yeah, I like that.
No XP penalty if you die in Dungeoneering.
Ooh, I like that too.
10% chance not to deplete Uncharted Isle resources. Good if you're going to be doing those turtles, as we'll get to in just a bit.
you best be doing those turtles.
reduced chance of burning food. 2.5% chance to save a secondary when making potions. So that'll stack with everything. And increased node spawn and double rewards in the rune span, just to name a few of the things that's happening this weekend. In addition to 1.5 times XP in the various categories. So, all right, let's move on to the patch notes for this week, because I want to get through these, because we do have some other big, big news to discuss. So first and foremost, an issue has been fixed in which the What's Mine is Doric's achievement was marked as complete without actually finishing Boric's tasks. Okay. The message "your ammunition will deal less damage than expected" will now only appear after 5 minutes or relogging. That's nice. And of course, this is referring to the charge bows that we talked about last week. Or was it the week before? I don't remember. I don't know.
Couldn't tell you.
Praise Lakota's drop rates have now been scaled to the amount of players in the fight so that smaller teams are better rewarded, up to the maximum of 7 players. So this is good, because, you know, previously, if you had a smaller group, you were penalized on this. And I think this is something that we can work on going forward, is that if there is a case in which it's time to, say, host a clan event and you wanted to do a next mass like this or something like this, you want to have a higher chance of getting a reward. So,
yeah.
Now, this might be the patch note of the week for many people, especially people who do portables. Upon entering the Combat Academy, your pet or follower will now be hidden for other players, and once you exit, your pet or follower will reappear for other players.
Bye-bye. Yeah, well, it's only the... Let's be real, it's only the one pet that annoys...
It's the big flappy dragon one, right?
Look, I love the big flappy dragon. I love dragons, but there's a time and place, people. You gotta put it away. Just saying. I mean, I have one. I love it, but no, you can't.
Can't be messing with people like that. Yeah. The lilies of the valley are gone. Completing a Sliskay's endgame replay will no longer award treasure hunter keys.
Well, that's probably the only reason people would do it, right?
Yeah, the number of people who replayed it was in, I think they said it was only a couple hundred.
Yeah, I feel like, okay, that's fine and everything, but I highly doubt someone was out there getting free treasure hunter keys by doing it game over and over. I mean, you earned it. If you're you earned those keys.
The rewards for the familiarization, distraction, and diversion have been reverted to give the summoning ingredients they did before the mining and smithing rework. And, of course, rune bars, because those would have been yanked out with that. And, you know, I think we can say that this is okay, because just look at the fact rune is level 50 now, and how many rune bars are going to be floating around the economy. So I think that's okay, because that is a summoning ingredient. And I mean,
yeah, I don't I don't mind that as much either, just because you need that with the elders. So, I mean, there's probably a pretty big demand on the rune. So,
You know, I haven't looked at the smithing economy at all since I finished my masterwork set.
Well, I can understand why.
Yeah.
You haven't made that second one to replace it yet?
No, I have not. I've been busy doing other things involving incense sticks and wood cutting.
Ah, fair enough.
So. New divine locations have been added for up to light and dark Animica. As a result, the level requirements have been readjusted for the current divine rocks in-game, and the ore divine locations have been graphically updated. What did you think of this when you saw this?
I wasn't sure which ones they were talking about.
The wood ones. Or, sorry, not the wood ones. The mining and smithing ones. The divine rocks. So, yeah, a divine rune rock is now level 50 div. Divine Calthite is 60. Divine Dracolith is also 60. Phasmatite 70. Baneite 80.
That kind of sucks, just because I don't use those. I just keep them in the bank for, I don't know, in case I pick up brawlers, then I would use them out in the wildy or something like that. But now those basically just, I'm not going to be worth really anything. Not going to be worth doing. That's a bummer. Oh well.
See, I never really was someone who did the divine location, so I don't know how big of an impact this is going to have. But
I was just going to say, I don't know about the rocks as much, but I have a friend, you know him, just finished 200 mil woodcutting. He's done divine use for 3 years. Every day reset, divine use. I mean, after 3 years, we kept 200 mil.
Yeah, and when you look at this, if to make a divine dark Animica, you need 160 luminous energy and 25 dark Animica ore. And it's my experience that you're not going to get that ore out of it, because these Animica divine rocks do fill your daily divine location gathering limit twice as fast.
Yeah, you need to double that with your wax, you know, to begin with.
Oh, sorry, 25 times faster than normal.
Yeah, you don't. I mean, the ore, I've always really thought it's kind of like the stuff you get from divine locations is secondary compared to the XP.
I should check the XP.
You don't pull like Rocktail out of a Rocktail bubble because you want Rocktail. You know, it's for the XP.
380 XP per Rocktail when you pull one of those.
Yeah. But it's so much faster, man. I mean, it's like boom, boom, boom. You know, you've got. It's. And if you have, like I said, if you have a pair of brawlers and you go out in the wildy, now we're talking. Now we got some like
that doubles it, right?
It doubles it. And then I would always use I would take divine use out there, and I would use like a what's the dwarven? What's it called? Saw. It's a chainsaw.
Yeah, the dwarven chainsaw, like the ram hammer, except for wood cutting.
Yeah, you set that to like the XP mode. Oh my god, dude, it's sick. It is sick.
It's a 300% XP boost, four times the XP at level 47 wilderness for the wood cutting brawling clubs.
Yeah, it's the only way to do it, man.
Well, I guess we're glad then that you can't purchase brawling gloves.
Oh yeah, no, those are a special little treat. But if you got a few pairs and you time them just right, it can be cool. It can be fun.
All right, fair enough. Well, that's pretty much it for the patch notes this week. I didn't XP test these divine locations, but I should. I'm going to make a note to do that after the show to test.
I'm guessing they're considerably less than they would.
Oh, they better be before, right?
Yeah, it's just that
poison woodcutting.
Well, no, I mean you don't want them to be, but like, I don't know. Like the ones that people had in their banks are going to be kind of trashy now.
Yep, that's right. Yeah. That's right. Entirely right on that. All right, so you ready to strap in for the next major skill rework?
Dude, we got so much to talk about before we even get to the next skill rework.
Well, it's right here, the Hunter Modernization.
Uh-huh.
Uh-huh.
Thank you, Mr. Orwell.
All right, so I want to provide a bit of a background information on this as to what we're going to be talking about, and you can air your skepticism on this. So,
let's just go. It's not even skeptical. It's different.
Okay. So coming this July is going to be a new way of training Hunter. Along with this will be PVM style drops, as in there will be a drop table for when you kill the creature. We haven't seen this new method of training Hunter outlined yet. That's something they're going to outline later on. But what they're going to be doing with this is that they are also going to be tweaking the way that the Hunter skill currently works. And they open up with a very, in my view, a convincing argument. And, you know, I think players are going to find this either convincing or they're going to, as you said, put a tinfoil hat on with this. Because what they say in the first opening salvo of this post, the first bulleted segment, it says that before the arrival of Crystallized, the spell, back in 2015 with the Light Within, Hunter was in a reasonably good space in terms of being XP balanced. Top end XP rates per hour at unboosted level 99 were about 250,000. Crystallized changed this, and XP rates rocketed to around 900,000 XP per hour when boosted. And they say they can't leave this as it is because it just has an unbalanced effect on the game. And what you can do is you can look at some of the charts that they have here showing the XP rates, how they're pretty linear until you get to the 90-ish range. And then you have these huge outliers up top, garnering north of 1 million, north of 900K, around 650K XP per hour. Now, they say when you factor in the Elite Skilling Outfit, the Tracker Aura, the Yoktui Stick, and the amount of Hunter XP achievable here was 1.4 million XP per hour. And they said this was unparalleled compared to any other non-buyable skill, and quadruple the earlier peak, and that's before things like bonus XP, clan avatars, or pulse cores. And they also say that this doesn't even include tick manipulation. Yeah, this is kind of the same thing as four-tick auto-attacking, but what this allowed players to do was ultimately set traps at a one-tick frequency by using various potion effects and whatnot to skip animations, and that pushed the XP up to 1.9 million XP per hour for ornate turtles. And this is the case why, along with this new hunter training method, something should be done about the skill from the balancing perspective. Some other XP rates at level 99 on this chart. Crystallized Grenwalls are about 933K XP per hour. The turtles are around 1.3 with boosts. And then those are the ones if you one tick go all the way up to 1.9. Crystal Skill Chomp is 1.4 boosted and 1.5 if you one tick, and 896K just base. And, you know, for me personally, I think 896K is a perfectly legit number. And I'd even say it's maybe a bit too high. So with that being said, this brings in the era of changes that they want to do for the skill. So the first one, of course, is Crystallize, as you can gather from this. So what they're going to be doing with Crystallize is that the new effect will only be cast on empty set box traps as opposed to full ones. And for 30 seconds after the spell is cast, any eligible creatures that enter the trap will be successfully caught and freed automatically, yielding XP, but no resources. And, you know, for me, I always find using Crystallize an annoying feature, kind of. And I never really understood how it worked with Hunter to begin with. So I'm glad they made this change. And changes available, or rather creatures are available that you can use this on, are Ferrets, Polar Kebbets, Grenwalls, Pawyahs, the Skill Chompas, the Gray Chinchompa, and the Red Chinchompa. Okay, so I think we need to take a pause here and talk about everything I've read up to this point.
We're just going to talk about their case.
Yeah, I want to talk. I want to talk about the case to do the rework first, and then I want to talk about some of the other changes that are going to happen with this. Because the case that I see here, when you look at this graph, and you look at the way the boosts are factoring in, and the fact that things can be one ticked, the one ticking is definitely a problem, and that needs to be patched straight away. Just wait, let me finish. The one ticking is a problem, and that needs to be patched straight away because you're using other things like potions and other animations and whatnot effectively to skip the rigors of setting the trap. And then the second thing is, if you're having 1.9 million XP per hour one ticking, and you know we know it's 104 mil to get level 120 Hunter and 200 mil to max it out, that's 100 hours to get 200 mil XP in this skill after you get 99. Less than that. And that's, you know, what? A couple weeks of playing a few hours a day?
What? If you can get 100 hours in a couple hours a day for a couple weeks?
100 hours of gameplay. Yeah, I mean, if people play for 4 hours a day, right?
I don't know, Shane. And that's a month. I'm not really buying any of it.
That's a month.
Really?
What part aren't you buying?
All of it. Look, let's go number one. Let's just talk about this one ticking stuff. That's a bug. Rip it out of the game.
Yes.
Just like the four tick. Okay. I don't have a problem with that. That should be. But to think that, like, because five of the most elite skillers can do this at a sustained pace over time, over an extended period of time, most people can't. You can't.
No,
you
are
not pulling 1.9. I'm not pulling 1.9.
Absolutely not.
So,
and that's an extreme case.
I mean, that to me, that's a bug that should just – we don't even need to worry about that. Pull that out. That doesn't matter. I don't think that using that XP rate is a viable argument because there's not very many people that can reach that.
All right.
There just isn't.
I still think that 1.3 mil for the turtles with boosts,
right,
and 933K for the grand walls is too high.
And in this case, I have kind of two issues with it. One, if they were to tell me we need to do a rebalance with some of the XP on the higher end of Hunter, I would be open to that. Now, with what they're talking about, no, I don't agree with that. I mean,
but this is a rebalance on the high end. Grenwalls, turtles, skill chompas. These are on
we're
the high
going
end.
From 1.3 to under 5.
What's
we're
wrong
like 550.
With that? What's wrong with that?
Can't have a no. What's wrong with that?
What
number
says,
one, it goes against what they've been talking about doing this whole year, what they have been building this whole year when it comes to skilling. Like, I am very encouraged that they're making big moves like this, but here's the thing. If you have built a process in skilling to where a lean forward, you're supposed to get the best XP rates, how are you taking the most lean forward skill of all and having it because the XP rate is too good? Like, I could see taking it down to 750, but 550, it's too low. It's way too low. Look, I did this with Jadinkos when 200K was the best an hour. It sucks, man. Like, Hunter is one of the worst skills. It's one of the most intense. It's one of the most lean-forward skills. So it should have the highest XP rate of any of those gathering skills. Like, there is no AFK Hunter.
Now here's the other side of this. Now, from a game design perspective, and the live stream did touch on this, there are only, as I said, at the high end, you know, the crystal skill Champas and ornate turtles is really we both agree probably that those are the two options at the high end. Yes?
Yeah, but I want you to also take into account, where do those things come from?
Arc for the turtles, and the crystal skill Champas are in Prif, and you can crystallize them.
Crystallize is a quest reward, so they're going to nerf another quest reward because that quest was, I mean, not the easiest. They're going to nerf that quest reward. We've seen that time and time again. And the arc, dude, that's the only thing that's good there. I mean, that's like one of the big draws to the arc. And look how long it took to get the arc in a place where people would even go there. They didn't even really want to go in the beginning.
All right.
So you're taking away the two big draws of those two things.
But what's happening now with this is that you have at the top end here, these are effectively the two choices that you can do if you're aiming to get a 120 or get 200 mil XP. And that's two choices in a game where you have up many other skills that have a myriad of more choices that you can make. So that's – I want that to – let's just sit, take that over there and have that sit on the shelf for a moment. Now, from the other side, you also do have the fact that things are going to get faster over time as new things get added to the game, as new rewards get added to the game, new methodologies are figured out. XP rates inherently get faster over time, either through players figuring things out, little ways to make themselves more efficient, or game updates that have been added to it. And the argument that I see right now is that if we go down to, you know, 590, 650K, I think is the mark they said that you would get on the top end for these Hunter things, what that allows to happen in the future is it allows for a more orderly approach, so that should something be added to the Hunter skill and it buffs Hunter as a whole, it's not going to push these two up to north of 1 million XP an hour again. And you said 750 would be a good benchmark, right?
I think so.
And they said between 5 – I think they said on the stream 590 to 650K is what they're aiming for. If we actually look down later into the doc, we'll see that. But what that allows for is that this is an admission that the way Hunter is currently built in game, it's just not sustainable. And that should they want to add something to the skill in the future, it would just be making it more unhealthy. And the focus would, of course, still be on these top tier training methods where a good design from the gaming perspective makes the players make a tough choice. And, you know, we're going to also see that butterflies are going to be made to be AFKable, and I think we can go down.
Oh, come on.
Yeah, we need to see this through, because this is very early in the process.
Butterflies are level what? 10?
They're going to be, yes, but they're going to be expanding them out to be higher throughout the tiers. They want butterflies to be ubiquitous throughout the Hunter experience. We need to look at this from a design perspective and not that.
Why?
XP. Because
you need to look at this from a design perspective. I am looking at this from a player perspective, so that maybe we can like figure out somewhere in the middle where we can like meet. Because you can't take that much away. I totally concede that obviously it's unsustainable, right? That's okay. But the argument, I mean, it's not okay, but I'm conceding that point. But when the argument becomes, well, there's only these two methods. There's only a couple methods in every skill.
And that's what the big update this summer for Hunter is going to bring in. It's going to bring in this third training method at the higher end. Whereas let's just take a look at high-end fishing for a moment, okay? What do we got at high-end fishing? We got the whack-a-mole fishing.
Yeah, fishing frenzy.
Fish frenzy. We got – what's the other big good one in the deep-sea fishing area that people like to do for XP?
Frenzy's the best.
Frenzy's the best for XP.
I don't know. Sailfish?
Sailfish. Yeah. Sailfish is okay, but it's not the best.
Sailfish is – yeah. I mean that's for the – that's better money.
And then you have the balanced approach of waterfall fishing, dare I say that, right? So – You effectively have three main methods for fishing. You have the fast XP, but no reward in terms of the fishing frenzy. You have the one where you're getting the expensive sailfish. Then you have the AFK, that's okay XP, and just lean backward. And what we got right now in Hunters, we just have two. And if we add in this new update we're going to be getting in July, which hasn't been detailed yet, we're likely going to be in a position where players will be able to make a choice on that. And I don't think it's fair.
Well, but think about it. Tortles, you get nothing.
Yeah.
You don't get anything.
And you don't get anything
tortles.
From Crystallize either.
Right. But, so why are those being drilled? Like, if anything, the next thing to come in the third way, since you're getting PVM style drops, that should be lower XP.
It probably will be lower XP. And you need to think of this on a triangle where you're going to have the tortles at the top end. And Crystallize, like you said, is a quest item. So when you're looking at the Crystal Skill Chinchampas, you got to look at that as a Crystal Skill Chinchampa, not as something that's going to inherently be crystallized.
Then then the mistake was made before. I really think it's hard to take things away from people. And if you're going to take them away, I don't think you can cut it in half. That's just – it's too much. It's going to be another dark light situation.
But it's
going to be another invention situation. They're going to cut it so far, and then we're going to panic a week later and have to buff it 1,500%, and maybe in the end it'll get to where it needs to be. That's why I'm saying, like, I really think the 750 is a better mark.
How many hours a day do you play RS?
I only get to maybe a couple.
Okay, so you did 2 hours a day. So that's 60 hours a month. And let's just say for some reason you did your tortles over there, and that would be, right now as it is, 1.3 million XP. You would be able to get 120 Hunter in 1.5 months.
I can't hit 1.3, man. I've tried. I can't. I that's what I'm saying. Like, I can get about a mil if I am really doing well, but not everybody's going to have every one of these bonuses. I mean, you got to look at high level efficiency skilling the same way you do high level combat,
right? And that's more the reason to nerf it, because there's so few that can attain those rates. And the reason is, now hear me out on this, is that if there's only – and this is going to be a generous number, because I don't think it's this high, but this is going to be a generous number. If there's 10% of the people that can hit that 1.3 mil XP per hour with this, that means 90% of the people can't. And what that in turn means is that is unfair to the larger community to have this weight on the skill going forward that – anything that you add to it. Remember when the woodcutting idols came out and said, oh, this XP is just, it's not for us. So
yeah, it's not good enough.
It's a problem in that people don't have anywhere to go. And I can say this.
Yeah.
And you don't have anywhere to go once you get 99. Plain and simple. You don't. And people are going to, inherently get 120s and 200 mils so much faster in the under skill. And you really can't have that happening, because it creates an unbalanced top end for that skill. And that unbalanced top end means that any other content in the skill is overshadowed by it, and any new content that comes out for Hunter is going to be overshadowed by it as well. And if you're putting content into a game that is overshadowed, either because it's not good enough on its own, or that it's overshadowed by something else in the game that's already there, you got a problem design-wise somewhere, and that's what this is solving.
So is this creep situation where no matter what you do, you're going to be creeping further and further, more and more, better and better, right?
That's exactly it.
So, okay.
And by hitting the hammer on this and dealing with the very top end of the player base who can reach these 1.3 mils, you are taking the path of least resistance and offending the least number of people.
Well, and that's what I find interesting, because this is a bold step. Yes, I think it's too far, but I agree that there could be some XP rebalancing on the top end of things. Totally understand. Totally agree with that. But we're going to go after Hunter before we ever touch a Telos or anything else, because we could never possibly offend those players, right?
That's a fair point, but we also need to remember that Telos and skills are looked at by two different councils, as they say, the Combat Council and the Skilling Council.
Yes, and but there is...
It's a question of when you put these into the pipeline. And, you know, I think there is work being done behind the scenes on Telos and PVM in general. And I think the incense sticks that we got back in March were a way to field test this to see how many logs they could pull out of the economy with a skilling update.
Well, I'm all for... I feel like this is kind of... I don't feel like this is in line with what they've been doing with skills, the directions they have been going with skills, like in the direction of deep sea fishing, then the farm, and then mining and smithing. There was this, like you said, there's this triangle, there's these choices, there's this stuff that's been laid, and this doesn't feel like it's in the same
grain. Because we haven't
seen
what the July update is going to be yet. And that's why I think...
But I know I'm only getting half of the XP that I could have gotten.
And that's perhaps a communications issue where the design for the July update should have come out before this. But
maybe,
they said in the live stream they want to soften people up to this going forward. And think to yourself, how many people are going to say that Hunter is their favorite skill?
No one. That's why it should have the best rates.
No, just wait.
It doesn't have any money. It's not fun. It's click intensive. The mechanics are the same no matter what you're hunting. Like, Hunter is in a sorry state. Yeah.
But what happens if after this July update hits, you have some people who say, aha, Hunter is now my favorite skill. And imagine you being in this position where you hated Hunter coming in. You were only, say, and, you know, I'd like to find someone who is in this boat, someone who is, say, around, you know, maybe 70, 85 Hunter, who hates it, plays the new update in July. It's like, this is a really good skill. This is a good update. It's fair. There's a consistent XP curve as the skill progresses, and I'm not going to be competing with people who exploit the game tick system to get 1.9 mil XP an hour. I'm not going to have all the boosts to get 1.3, and I don't know. I don't think we asked you. What is the highest XP per hour you ever got at the Tortles?
Oh, me, like I said, I can only pull like a mil at best.
Okay.
You know, I'm slower than some people, but that's respectable. It's just, but that's as good as I can get.
Yeah, because you use a magnifier.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that's fairly commendable, too.
Thank you.
Now, also with this, they're going to be buffing and boosting different areas of the skill. So starting off, the Yak Twee Stick boost will be lowered to a 2% XP boost. It's currently 5%. The Yak Twee Stick 5% chance of extra sprites will be increased to 20%. And the enhanced Yaktui stick can now be worn while barehanded catching butterflies. And the chance of auto-deployer picking up traps from the volcanic trapper outfit will be increased from 10 to 30%. And
those are good changes.
Yeah, and they are. Because, you know, I go back, I remember when that charm spread hunting thing was actually first released. We were doing the podcast back then. Mm-hmm. And back then, it was a simple hunter minigame where the goal was, you know what the core purpose of that was? It wasn't a hunter update. You know what it was for?
What was it for?
It was a way to get summoning charms if you didn't want to do combat.
Oh.
Yeah.
But the charms are like golds and
that's
green, right?
But like, that's exactly what they were for back then. That was not meant to be a hunter update when it came out.
Okay, well.
That was another way to bring in charms for somebody who, for some reason, would want to make a summoning pier. That's the area we were in at the time.
Okay.
And that's what that was about. And over time, that little distraction and diversion south of Ardoyan, or north of Ardoyan, became solely focused again around the Yaktui stick.
Well, because it's, 5%.
Exactly. Right? Yeah. So, and this is what we've been saying all along here on the show, is that when it comes to it, it's all about the context. Because if you didn't know that when this update came out, going back all those years, you might have seen this as a straight-up nerf, whereas I see this as going back to what that minigame was designed for.
Well, I mean, yes, you make a good case for that. Even like, to me, like, that is a better kind of a nerf than just cutting an XP rate in half. I mean, the Yakti tree stick is kind of, it's almost unique when it comes to the skilling in general, because we have our skilling outfits, you know, but there's very few things that, like, you hold in your hand to actually get an additional 5%, like that kind of throws it into a different category to me. Yeah. So that's okay. I feel like that's okay.
And I also want to point out that if you still do want to get to that 5% XP boost, you can take it up to 4 by using something called the Torstal Incense Stick.
Right. And well, they'll make that a little more valuable, probably a little more in demand.
Exactly. The Elite Trapper outfit will now have an increased chance of instantly deploying or picking up traps. And they're also unlocking the ability to purchase the outfit's blueprint in-game with a new Hunter currency that will arrive alongside the aforementioned Hunter update in July. And the very fact we're getting something like that's like a Hunter currency means that it's not just going to be a new flash-in-the-pan kind of thing. It's going to have a similar progression mechanism to it like the player-owned farm.
Yeah, we don't want it to be like the herbivore habitat, right? Because that wasn't fun. No,
that was not fun. That was not fun.
And see, the changes that they're making, like, it's almost like I have to separate what they're doing here. Because the changes when it comes to the outfits and the gear, those are actually really good changes that make sense. Just look at what the outfit's doing here, right? Being able to auto deploy and stuff. That's in line with what they've been doing with skilling, right? That's making the most click intensive skill there is a little less tick intensive or click intensive, right? it makes it a little, you know, it's a little, it's not AFK, but it's a little more like that. It's laid back a little more. That should be the choice. You should be able, they should make Hunter the method of a more laid back auto kind of deploying traps once in a while, like with this outfit. And then you would have your kind that's your method that's going to be more GP related. And then you're going to have your high intensity turtles, you know what I mean? Like with the really high rate.
So what you've just outlined the triangle here, and that the triangle will be here after this update, because we do know there's going to be drops that come from this update in July. And the next part of this, under other hunter changes, is that barehanded butterfly hunting is being altered to become more AFK friendly and offering better XP. making it the main AFK hunting method.
Right, but I don't know if the outfit is quite enough. Like, it's good, but I that's something we won't know until we're using it.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, yeah. It's a hell of a cut, man. It's a hell of a cut.
See, and going back to it, you know, you look at the graph, and anytime you have a graph with that many outliers, you have a problem. Because when you're dealing with something that is designed to be balanced, it should be ordered. It should follow a kind of progression, whether it's, you know, linear, exponential, or logarithmic, whatever, you name it. It should fit a certain kind of curve, and what we have right now simply does not.
Well, I mean, yes. I mean, I agree with that. I just, I think the amounts are, that's my question. That's where I'm having issues with.
It would be fun to know how many people have actually hit that 1.9 mil or 1.3 mil.
Well, but 1.3, fine. But the 1.9, get rid of that. That doesn't count. Doesn't count, man. That's
a bug.
It's four ticking. It's bug abuse. Yeah. I mean, you know what I mean. Like, yeah. I'm not saying,
of course,
ban bug abuse, but it's bug abuse. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Okay. They're also adding a new high level yellow salamander. It uses net trapping because, as it is right now, net trapping is not a viable high level hunter method. The salamander will be released from the player, giving you XP without an item, and due to this, the new salamander cannot be caught in your inventory and therefore cannot be wielded as a weapon. These changes provide a more uninterrupted skilling experience.
And then we mentioned those.
The new hunter method. You know, leveling up salamanders were good. It's always a shame to see that, you know, as far as I can remember going back, even when Hunter came out, salamanders really were just kind of you know?
Mm-hmm.
So, other general quality of life changes include 2 traps can now be used from level 1. Additionally, 3 traps from level 30, while 4 and 5 traps remain at 60 and 80, respectively. The player will now walk on top of a shaking trap before picking it up, making it easier to relay on the same spot without needing to walk there first.
That's so good.
Yeah.
So good. I do like that.
Oh, I missed the Hunter Skill Cape perk. They're, of course, going to rework this. It's still in discussion among the team. The core aim is for the perk to benefit those who are training the skill, especially as the current perk is actually a detrimental for high-level hunters.
Yeah, that was crazy. I didn't realize that.
Yeah, neither did I. I don't even know what that one does. Let me just have a quick look here.
Well, I think it's pulling them in from further away, so it's actually slowing your XP down.
Oh.
That's the way they explain
it. Right, it increases the effective range of traps by 2 squares. Yeah, that makes sense. And see, you know, that's a sign that someone who designed that perk wasn't really familiar with the true mechanics of Hunter.
Yeah, I still have that.
Fallen over traps will now have a left click option rather than take.
And you know, need to make it more noticeable that it's fallen, because I always have trouble with that.
Yeah, and you know what the main reason for this one is?
No.
Starts with an M. Mobile.
Oh yeah, because of left click, right? Yeah.
Yeah. The Trapper outfit success chance bonus to will now work on all hunter creatures. Increase the maximum possible number of skill chompas per trap from 4 to 6.
See, the that's what I'm saying. The equipment side is actually pretty good. But,
yeah.
I don't know.
Now here for butterflies, and this is what they're going to do to make them more AFKable. Increase the click box on them. Increase the physical size of the butterflies, making them easier to see. Making the sapphire glaciers bluer to help them differentiate them from the snowy nights. I bet you have a problem with those ones up there.
Yeah. So are these going to go all the way to like level 70, 80, 90? Like,
I don't know.
Are we going up?
We'll see. Agility level now affects your success chance when catching butterflies.
Sorry, I'm trying to get this image of Sirion and his short shorts out there trying to catch butterflies out of my head right now.
Oh, that's great.
Catch the butterflies.
And you know what the funny part is? Is having seen him in real life, it's that you could actually imagine that with a physical person.
Oh, God, no. Oh, jeez.
Sapphire Glacialis and Snowy Night Butterflies have been moved around in Relica to make them more accessible. When successfully catching a butterfly barehanded, there's a high chance that you will release it and automatically start catching again. And the Yaktui stick, the enhanced Yaktui stick, can now be worn while barehanded catching butterflies, as explained above.
Okay. Does it mean, is it like a pocket item then?
I don't know. I assume that you'll just wield it and you'll be able to catch regardless.
Oh, okay. I got you. It just will act like it's not
yeah.
in there.
Okay. Salamanders increased the salamander tree click box. Salamanders now have a release all option. More black salamanders and net trap hot spots have been added to the wilderness. And, of course, the yellow salamander as well. Okay, Herblore Habitat, you ready for these ones? We've got a real laundry list here.
Does it include making it go away?
No.
Okay.
We need that for our farming patch.
Well, that's why you're the master farmer.
Yeah. The player no longer freezes at points when hunting within Herblore Habitat. And this is, I imagine, due to the instancing of the tracking. Jadinkos can now pass through players. You know, I imagine somebody trolled someone with that one.
Probably.
The box that appears when you gain a seed within Herblore Habitat now has been converted to a different message type. This does not interrupt the player. Juju Hunter Potions now stack up to 30 minutes or 36 minutes with incense sticks. Yeah, they're too short as it is now.
Mm-hmm.
The southern region has had some foliage removed and Jadinko spawns moved to make Hunter there rival the northern section. Wilted Marmoset plants now have a rebuild option akin to box traps. The check option when a Marmoset trap is in the middle of catching something has been removed as it didn't do anything and just led to frustration and confusion. The option now will only appear when the trap is ready to check. Added a small stock of Juju Herb Seeds to Papa Mambo's shop stock. Huh, I wonder which ones he'll have.
Yeah.
You know, we like the Ugun ones for the Juju Farming Potions. So, ineligible Jadinkos are removed from the area quicker after changing your habitat configuration. You are now warned when adding a dose of Juju Hunter Potion when you are already close to the time limit allowed, and increase the Herblore Habitat Herb Seed drop rate.
Okay.
Falconry.
Falconry.
Yeah, Falconry.
No, that's
all
Kepits here.
Spawns have been rearranged to make them better to catch, and four more dashing Kepits have been added within the Falconry area.
Like, you know, when I was in that band of levels, that was my favorite, training. I loved that. I thought it was so cool.
You know, it's just not great XP, though.
No, it's terrible. But it was so cool. It was like, ooh, get my falcon. Go get these gophers or whatever they are. Have fun.
All right. So that's pretty much all we got for now. And as you know, they haven't detailed much about what's coming in July, but I think when we boil this down, we just need to get past the numbers and realize
it's really hard to get past.
But it's just not healthy.
It's such a big nerf, man. I just feel like it's a little too much, don't you think? I mean, for arguably the hardest gathering skill to do, I don't know.
I'm going to be completely honest with you, and I think that even 500k XP per hour is too much.
Well, I I mean, I figured you would have that perspective.
Like I said, I come from the era when skills were designed in RuneScape Classic where you were not supposed to get 99s.
Yeah, I mean, you probably never seen a nerf you didn't like.
But seen what?
A nerf you didn't like. but I just, I mean, you have to, you do, I think you're right. Maybe I do have to get past the numbers, right? But at the same time, you have to recognize the era we're in now, and we can't go too far back when it comes to XP rates, or it just makes it not as fun. I mean, especially like it or not, a lot of people do play for the XP.
And yeah.
I mean, I might not be hitting 1.3, but
if you're hitting one, it's even an issue, because put yourself in the position where you have RuneScape Mobile and you're just in a position where you have a job where you're able to, you know, keep that running. Mm-hmm. And I've talked to people who are in this boat.
But you couldn't do it to Hunter.
You couldn't do it with Hunter, no. But as I said, it comes down to fairness. And ensuring it's a healthy ecosystem. So 3 or 4 years from now, things can be added on. We're not doing this for today, Tanis. This update is not for today. It's not for this summer. You know what it's for? It's for 5 years from now, after they're well on their way to analyzing what's been happening with the 5-year skilling plan. That's what this update is for.
That's, I mean, okay, but, you know, even, like, I don't know. I think 750, somewhere around there, just seems a lot more, it is easier to swallow, I guess.
Now, aside from the pure shock value, and just the fact it's that number, do you have any empirical reason it should be 750,000 other than it just feels like it should be?
Well, I mean, basically because, like, say if you're bonused up on some cooking, right, you're pulling 750 on Rocktail, right? And that's AFK.
Right, but that's viable. And they said they're looking at, they're comparing with non-viables.
I think the only, I don't know. There's thieving would probably be the closest one then after that.
Thieving can get pretty high with safe cracking.
Well, even higher. I mean, but it's in that same band.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. I feel like I totally agree. We need to do something. I buy into that. I think what they're doing with the equipment and the skilling outfits, that it's all good. Every one of them is good. But you're hitting a skill that no one really wants. Like, the only reason you do it, like, is that XP rate. I mean, that's kind of the fun part of it.
And there
it.
You go.
Otherwise, you don't want to do it.
There you go. People don't want to do it. And that's, and like I said, that means that things are overshadowing it. And that points to an unhealthy ecosystem. And this is one step to fixing that. The other step, new content.
I guess maybe I need to see the content.
Then. Yeah.
And look, like I said, don't get me wrong. I think it's good that they're stepping out of the box and they're doing something that I think in years past they would probably never have done. I think that's good. I really do. Now, I wish everyone would have felt the pain instead of the skillers feeling it first. But I don't, yeah. It's hard to get past that number, man. It's really hard for me to get past that you halved it. Gosh, that is...
You know what the... You know, I think the correct course of action... I'm going to say this, and, you know, I think there's one way this could have been fixed, and it's a simple thing they could have done, and I understand if they don't want to release the information. Move the XP nerfs to the bottom of the document. And at the top, give us a paragraph or two about the new hunter method and what it's going to potentially drop. Give us one paragraph on its potential drops. Don't give us the whole details on it. Just give us a bit of a brief outline of how it's going to work. Because it's coming in July. That means it's already being worked on and the design is likely finalized.
Yeah.
I think that would have gone a long way to allaying the concerns that you and others are probably having with this.
Yeah, on one hand, I mean, it seems like they did it because they wanted to give people a chance to hurry up and get it done, and that's exactly what's going to happen.
Yeah.
But at the same time, it's almost like, okay, something that has this kind of a shock value, it's almost like what you do with your, like what I do, my wife and I will do with my daughter. Like, if we're going to be going to, say we're going to take her to the park like this weekend, we don't tell her that until she is in the car on the way there, because otherwise she's going to freak out like a week ahead of time. When are we going? What are we doing? So maybe don't tell us until we're in the car.
And see, that's interesting because they said they're doing this because in general, players want to hear more about changes before they arrive.
Like, yeah. But I think that's, if you were to ask someone, they would say that. But I think when you think about it, when you critically take a step back and think about it, it's like, I know that now I'm going to need to be thinking about, man, Hunter is going to just, it's going to suck to get 120 Hunter now.
Right. And, you know, if they would have detailed the new method first, you're going to be thinking, oh, this new Hunter update is going to be great. It's going to make me more money. There's going to be more choice to it. So it's going to be like deep sea fishing. And there's going to be a few nerfs.
And you know what? That was one of the things that they did right with mining and smithing, right? The one thing you never really heard much about was the XP rates.
Yeah.
Like, you heard about the mechanics. You heard about how it was going to work. And then after the beta started, we started to get an idea of the rates, this and that. But the rates were never that big of a... You know what I mean? It was never that big of... It wasn't like a deal breaker or anything like that. You might be onto something there. Like, that might have been a little bit better of an approach. I mean, I do appreciate... I appreciate the guts. But... Yeah, it's just... I'm not looking forward to it.
Well, speaking of courage, let's talk about the live stream this week, because that was indeed a good one, and I'm glad we are going to have some time to discuss it. So, a little bit more clarification on Desperate Times. It's going to require the needle skips, you are it, 50 mining, 50 smithing, and 50 divination. It's set after Sliske's endgame, so that is a recommended quest, but not required. There's going to be cutscenes. They're going to be voice acted. The cutscenes will be, but the actual quest is not voice acted. It's rated,
weird line to draw there.
Yeah. And, you know, you can think of other games that do this too, voice their cutscenes, and I think Jagex might be trying this to create immersion for quests where it counts, but we'll have to wait and see how the execution is.
Yeah.
Story-wise, it's going to be substantial, but not as substantial as Ritual of Montserrat. There's going to be more on this line to come in the future, and Maud Osborne in particular is really excited about where this goes. And this is one step towards the next big thing that they are announcing this summer. And it's going to tie into this quest. It's going to have repeating characters, repeating themes. And the big thing coming this summer is not the Hunter rebalance. It's something else.
Right. I am so... Like, I have more questions now than I did before.
All right. Well, let's get through this. The couple other points on the quest first, then we'll get to those. There's going to be some puzzle elements in the quest. The reward is going to be a container for clue scroll items that will ultimately save bank space. as well as a master clue for everybody who completes it. And the update that follows this quest, the summer update, is about 7/8 done.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So, that's cool. So it is happening.
I just... What would need the needle skips and You're It? Like, what about You Are It? It's going to affects this quest, or that you have need to like that. I mean, it's been making me spin. I can't figure it out.
Well, you know, when we theorize, the first thing we do when we theorize is we go to the option that we would like to see, and that is probably not necessarily a good thing. You Are It was released exactly 1 year ago this week. That's when you clear cut McGrubber's Wood.
Yeah, and it was all about the Charo's lore, right?
Charo's lore.
That was, yeah. But what does that have to do with the Elder Gods? Like, what could that possibly have to do with the Elder Gods?
I honestly don't know. It might be something to do with that dungeon down there, because if you recall, it looked as though there were parts of that dungeon that could be expanded.
Yeah. Well, and who knows? I mean, all bets are off if the needle is involved.
Yeah,
all bets are off, right?
Yeah,
I mean,
precisely.
It could be anything.
And that's why I think we should save the speculation to after the quest, because it is coming out on the 13th next week.
Yeah, I'm excited for this one. I don't get really excited for, you know. I mean, I do for some quests, but
and
not
it's
just
not
any
a Grandmaster quest, so we're not going to be sitting for 2 hours.
Hopefully not. I mean,
we're going to be sitting for 2 hours on the podcast, but we're not going to be sitting for 2 hours doing the quest.
Yeah, well, that depends
that's what
on
I
the
meant.
Puzzle
that's
elements.
That's what I meant. Yeah.
Yeah.
There was a question asked in the live stream: is Sliske going to make an appearance? And this was Mod Raven's response to that.
Come on, Sliske going to make an appearance? That man's transcendent for sure. I mean, dead as far as I'm aware. I mean, I saw him die, so.
Yes. Die.
One of a kind.
And Mod Raven is indeed behind the story of this quest.
Yeah. He's back. He's back like Palpatine in Rise of Skywalker. He's back. He's coming back.
Wasn't there some possession thing with Charos at one point?
Oh. Huh. You know, I think you're right.
Because the ring is obviously possessed with Charos' spirit.
Yeah. Huh.
Anyways, we'll save the speculation.
Okay.
But that's coming next week, so... more questions about the Elite Dungeons QOL. Fixes keep getting added onto it, and that puts it back to QA for more testing. It will be out this month, as was mentioned, in the month ahead. Speaking about Hunter, we already talked about the new method with PBM style drops, more AFK friendly, more QOL fixes, Salamander at the mid 80s tier, Elite Hunter outfit brought in through in-game activities. And, you know, they said that the reason they're doing the nerf to the XP rates now rather than just doing them on their own is because when you bundle it with a new piece of content, that's just, in general, a better time to make big changes through it. And their ultimate rationale is that at the top end, you really only have two ways to train right now. As we mentioned, skill chompas or ornate turtles. And there's not much choice. And they hope that when this update is finished that we are getting for Hunter, there will probably be between 8 and 9 methods to choose from at the high end to train.
Wow.
So that's why I think we need to wait on XP.
We'll see. I mean, it's really my only sticking point, but it's a doozy.
Yeah. Now, Mod Osborne was also on this stream, and it's always great to see him and see him back in the focus and, you know, coming through as lead designer of RuneScape. And He effectively said that 2019 has taught the company Jagex to be a bit more brave. Mining and smithing taught Jagex that fundamental elements of things in-game can be changed, and this led on to things like the comp cape rework and the add-ons that they made to firemaking, and they've distributed more authority to the councils to do these kind of updates. They effectively, at the top end, wanted to stop to be curators of the world and stop worrying that people are going to have a outroar, as Maud Osborne said, or whenever we do a big change. And Jagex is ultimately at a place where they're happy with the way a lot of things have gone this year. And there are so many of these updates going on, and they'd like to do more. And if they do, the next ones they're probably going to do are agility and construction, but the schedule's full right now.
And you know what? They earned it.
They did.
They earned it.
I want to play his exact words here because they're important.
I mean, so this year has been great because it's taught us something. It's taught us to be a bit braver. So at the start of the year, we did mining and smithing, which to be honest, was amending a lot of stuff with mining and smithing that could have been perceived very badly. Like, we were changing fundamental elements of what people know as mining and smithing. But it went down really well. Loads of people came back to play it. That has led us to do things like comp cape rework, has led us to try to amend fire making earlier this year. The skip of the councils are also feeling like, you know, I'm trying to give them more authority that they can do this kind of thing. We stop being like curators of the world and really kind of worrying that people are going to outroar and whenever we do a change. To become more like, actually, you know what, if we make a number of changes over time, we can get to a place where we're really happy with a lot of the stuff that's here. We get to a really good place. It's not going to happen at once, which is why we can't do agility now, can't do construction now, but it will happen. But we're just feeling a bit braver.
There we have it. And I'd just also like to point out that I pointed this out back in April of 2018, that if Jagex played their cards right through 2018 and then into 2019 with the... with the hunter up or the mining and smithing update, it would open a whole new door of possibilities for what Jagex can do to ultimately build trust and morale in the community.
And they really fulfilled on. I mean, they fulfilled that. And we talked about getting a string of small wins together, and they did that beginning of last year. And then we talked about, you know, if the big ones go over well. And you've built up some political capital here. You can do some things.
Yeah.
And mining and smithing went well.
Yeah, and I actually just want to...
here we are.
I actually just want to point out where exactly we are on this, and it's actually amazing that I foreshadowed this. So I talked about effectively building this into a five-act play, so to speak. So the third act would have been Jagex doing something ultimately... the second act would have been them doing something courageous, which was the mining and smithing update. The third act would be that Jagex can do whatever they want. And, this is what we said. It's, you know, probably something that is that wouldn't have been imaginable at that point. And, you know, I mentioned that these could have been removing primary drop materials from primary ingredients from drop tables. And they would just be able to do it, and it would be able to be done. And then the fourth act, I said, which I effectively called the climax, is that the idea behind this is that they will have learned a great deal about their community to the point where they can read what's going on better than before, and if need be, Jagex can solicit ideas for their surprise update by occasionally asking pointed questions. And, you know, I think this might be actually where we're at with this... at this point, because if you look at it, it was a big thing to remove those materials from the hunter or from the mining and smithing drop tables, wasn't it?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, for sure.
And they wouldn't have been able to do that if they didn't do stage two, where they built up the community with community-based design. So stage two and three was the mining and smithing update. And here we are entering stage four with the summer update, either to Hunter or maybe even the Saren thing, as we're thinking it's going to be. And I said the final part of this, act five, is that Jagex will have gone from having effectively zero community trust to pulling off some of the biggest updates in history. And there will be a whole new boatload of metrics in-house that they can use to develop game content for the next 2 years after this. So this is teeing everything up for the future, and it's happening exactly as we predicted last April.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, people might have been concerned about the mining and smithing, but it worked, and that's where we're at. So
yeah, it worked, and you know, maybe my only hope at this point is if we do take the full nerf and it goes down to 550, then I think that puts us where, what would you say, like that's stage 3-4 where they're.
If it goes down well, that will be stage 4.
Okay. Then I hope in stage 5, where they've learned all this and they know what they can do, they hit the other side of the equation as well.
Yeah.
And maybe that's...
And I didn't write that...
Maybe they need to get there
before.
I
didn't write that in the article last April, but that's what I was thinking. That's what that would be.
Ah. That makes more sense now, too. Okay. Yeah, I mean, I guess if someone has to fall on the sword, it might as well be this will be us.
It could be. It could be.
Yeah. Well, you probably, I don't know, maybe you couldn't do it the other way around. Maybe that wasn't feasible.
No, I don't think so. Now, Mod Shawnee also said that Jagex realizes in the past that Jagex has been almost purist in a way and saying deal with it in regards to changes, and they want to aim to communicate more effectively to make things less negative in the future. For example, given was the divine vacuum change. So what does the community think about finding out about significant changes 2 months or so in advance?
I don't think it has to be an either or. I don't think it's either deal with it or give us 2 months
warning.
The answer
is it depends.
It depends, and it's how you're presenting it. What? How is your argument constructed?
Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, it doesn't need to be on a blueprint. It's just that You need someone in there who can read the community, who knows when things are going wrong, and when you can look at the internal document and see, hey, this is not going to go over well. That's when you engage in the persuasion game. Let's just say. So, I think the answer to that is it depends. So,
yeah.
All right, that's pretty much it for the live stream this week. Anything else in the live stream that you wanted to mention?
No, that was enough.
It was enough, and you know, I will go out on the record and say that you know, when I predicted what was happening there, I saw the way things were going, and I had hoped that things would have been successful. And at the end of the day, it seems we are headed that way. So. I am very pleased with that.
Well, and you know, these are, as much as I might not like where the rates are right now, it's all signs of good things, because if things weren't going well, and they didn't know that from internal data, I don't think they would try it.
Exactly.
So it must mean that things are, you know, in a good place.
Indeed. All right, well, we do have a couple questions this week, but before we do that, I'll just thank our Patreon supporters for this episode. Of course, what we do here, everything RSVNB related on the podcast would not be possible without you guys. So this week, I'd like to thank Brock H., Diana, Kyle, Sojuice the Devil, Tom V., and Zez. Thank you very much, all of you, for your support. It truly does mean the world to us. And I can say that if you head on over to patreon.com/ RSBNB right now. The poll is up for the monthly bit for this month, and we would like your guys' input. So if you want to have the ability to vote in this poll, you can do that for as little as $1 a month. That's one of the benefits that we have available. Patreon supporters also gain access to early show notes. If you go up to $3 a month, you can get a special VIP rank on Discord, high-quality AAC versions, stereo AAC versions of the show. And if you go all the way up to $5 a month, you receive a shout-out on the podcast every week, as well as exclusive access to the outtakes that we use for the clip show in addition to everything else. And, you know, the ones we have on offer this month for the monthly bit are the RuneScape soundtrack Through the Ages, Hype and Anticipation, Behind the Scenes, Live Streams in the Month Ahead, How Old School Came to Be and What It Means for RuneScape in General, and The Rise of AFKscape, and of course, What It Means for the Future of RuneScape, and especially RS Mobile. So that's what we got on vote right now for the monthly bit. We'll be recording that and releasing it later this month. And we also do have our Inside RSBNB update, where you gain an inside look into the RSBNB update production system, including interviews with our hosts and production team, and you can learn how the podcast comes together and even have a sneak peek of where the hosts record the show. And if we reach $50 a month, we'll be doing the RSBNB update roundtable on the first Saturday of each and every month, hosted in Discord. And should we reach $99 a month, we'll do movie night in Discord, where we'll watch a movie, all of us together, and it'll probably be some of our favorites, including Star Trek. So more on this can be found at patreon.com/RSBNB. Thank you for your support, everyone. All
right. Thank you, guys.
So let's move on to some of these questions, shall we?
Let's get into it.
Starting off, a question from Zant, a longtime listener of the show. As a recently returning player, catching up with the newest content has been quite overwhelming, especially when it comes to smaller tweaks and fixes. Which smaller updates and even patch notes over the past year or so do you think have had the most positive impact on the game? I think I know which one you're going to choose.
Yeah.
All right. Go ahead.
Maybe. Were you thinking skyboxes?
Yep.
Yeah. Definitely. That. I mean, that's one for me. But I think for the general population, Aura Bag was just a huge ninja.
Yeah, part of M&S.
Update. Yeah.
To access the skybox, you just right-click the world map, and you can change your skyboxes and filters there and whatnot.
Mm-hmm.
You know, for me, it's the little things. Like, take example, last week's colorful stat indicators when your stats are buffed or decreased. That's one. You know, another big one is the changes that were made to the player-owned farm back in February, the player-owned farm month, just, you know, reshaping the UI, some of the farm hands that were there. And that was fun. I think other ones we can look at, it comes down to accessibility and just the general changes we've seen brought in with RS Mobile. You know, in particular, making it so that you don't need to always rely on mouse over text to learn about something, because, you know, if you're going to be on mobile, you're not going to have that, right?
It's true.
And, you know, I think that the combat patch weeks are also not as well received as they should be, because many people see it's, oh, it's just combat, it's just for the PVM types. But no, in reality, that is the bedrock of the game, and they do need to be buffed and tweaked every so often, right?
Well, and I've noticed when it comes to the combat tweaks and fixes, it actually seems to have more of an impact on people that's doing normal kind of combat, Slayer,
exactly,
that kind of thing, than it does the actual higher echelons, you know?
Yeah. You might not find this interesting, but one I did was the bug report interface, remembering the text you entered. Should you close it?
Okay.
Also filtering messages when you're using your divine charges with the divine vacuum cleaner. Because previously you could have these messages appear, but you wouldn't be able to filter them out and would just clutter your chat, and that was kind of annoying. So,
you're 25%. You're at 50%. Yeah. You're at 75%.
Exactly. Yeah. Right? And, you know, in general, just UI fixes and whatnot. I think people hated the player-owned ports interface, and they needed to make that for mobile, but it was something that needed to be updated. We should probably have another look at that. And, you know, I think you realize my trend is focusing in around UI and whatnot, so that's where I focused most of my fixes. And, you know, there are tiny little things, like, for example, the ore box you mentioned, right?
Mm-hmm. Oh, and all the sound cues, man. There's too many to, like, list right now, but they have done such a good job with adding sound cues over the last, well, especially over the last, like, beginning in 2019, but even going further back in 2018, like, they've really been doing a lot better of a job of making it, like, if there's a visual cue, there's usually a sound cue along with it, and that's just great.
On the ore boxes, you can click to use an ore box on a deposit box, and it will empty everything in the ore box into your bank.
Yeah, that's cool.
Drop changes for the PVM stuff when it comes to stone spirits was also good as well, I think. You know, there's just so many of these little fixes here and there. I could keep going on about these, but, you know, I think the best way people can catch up with these is just subscribe to us on YouTube and watch the weekly bite when those come out. We do go through all these impactful patch notes like that. So, but if I had to pick one, if you had to pick one, would it be the skybox?
Yeah, just because that lets me get into areas of the game that is difficult otherwise.
Okay, fair enough.
Yeah.
You know, for me, I got to go with, you know, I don't know if this is a small one. I got to go with the drop changes that came with the mining and smithing update. I don't know if that's small. Yeah.
I don't know if I would put that in a small category, but sure. All right.
Okay. Well, if I had to pick another one, then.
Actually, you know what, though? That says something about it, because it's actually huge, and it felt huge then, but now it doesn't feel so big.
Exactly.
Like, you know what I mean? Like, we're kind of, everyone kind of got used to it and was like, oh, yeah, that's the way it should have been. Yeah. It should have always been like that.
Yeah.
You know?
Potion tool tips.
Okay.
That's another.
That's a good one.
I just have too many to pick. Too many. So I'm going to leave that there. Thank you, Zant. Next one from Tycho. Dear RSBNB, as I'm currently between a course book of 800 pages and a hard place, I will ask you a unique question before heading back to the drawing board. People say that it's a blessing to be stupid, and stupid people don't have to worry about world problems, political stuff, or that the sun will burn to a crisp in 500 million years. It's actually more than 500 million years.
It's a billion, isn't it?
Yeah, it's like 6 billion or so, probably. Mm-hmm. So if we were to imagine ourselves in an altered dimension where people are more stupid, how do you see yourselves? Would you maybe be living a happier life, or would you feel that being intellectual is a crucial thing for your existence? And to spin it around, how would you imagine yourself today if you had Einstein's brain acquired at the age of 5? Maybe you would build a mechanical tree that converts oxygen more efficient than a real one, or maybe just depressed when realizing that mankind was doomed from day one. Don't give me the short answer and remember to be yourselves until you get paid to be smarter by your boss.
Man, Tycho was smoking some good shit, huh? Shane, Shane, you probably feel like this every day, don't you? You're surrounded by stupid people.
Well, you know, if I was in a category where I, you know, had to be, I think what he means by stupid is more ignorant.
Yeah,
I would say, yeah, definitely would focus on things that don't grind the gears so much, right? Like I would probably focus more on my technology stuff than I do my real world stuff, if that was the case. And of course, what I'm referring to on that, for those of you guys who don't know out there, I do run another podcast based primarily on Canadian political news, and that is something that I always have my eye on. And it's something that you have to have a specific eye to, because if you let it get to you, it will bother you. So if I was doing that, I think you would see a different kind of RSBNB update, more focused on the tech newsy kind of stuff. But with that being said, if you did that, I don't think we'd have the realizations we've had about persuasion and communication on the show.
Yeah, I don't think so.
So, it's something I would definitely not trade. And I think you can be intellectual, and you also can be ignorant at the same time. But it's about finding the appropriate balance to the point where you're not shortchanging yourself of information that you need to make decent decisions. I think that would be a good way of saying it.
I'm not sure I can say it better because I don't know. Everyone should be a mix of lots of things, right? I mean, there should be many things that you're knowledgeable in and many things that you're ignorant in. The problem only lies when ignorant people try to express to you that they know what the right answers are and then try to impose them, on others, and that's where the rub is. So I don't think it matters quite so much you know, how you want to quantify someone's intellect.
I don't think you can.
Yeah, and I don't either. But if I could be some, you know, if I could live without having to ever talk about politics or religion unless other than just in a purely theoretical way, yeah, that'd be wonderful. That'd be absolutely wonderful. And I've always enjoyed that kind of a discussion in a theoretical basis, but once it gets grounded in life, it evokes emotions that are hard to ignore.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I have trouble with that sometimes. I mean, I can think about something on a intellectual level and it's very different than how I'm feeling emotionally about it at the time, you know?
Yeah, and that's important to be able to separate that out. So, if you had Einstein's brain at the age of 5, you know, it's not all about smarts. It's not all about the brain inside you. You can do a lot with what you have. You don't need to have the brain of an Einstein to make your mark on the world. So,
you know, I think if I could have it, I don't know if I would want it because, I don't know much about Einstein. Didn't study him, don't know much about his life or anything, but I feel like someone that is that much of a visionary, that smart, it almost feels like it might be a lonely life. Like it would be like,
it is
feel like no one ever could understand you.
It is because you always have to seek out the people who do understand you, who do see it your way.
Yeah, and I don't know. I think that would be a hard life.
But hey, when you find them, you treasure them just that much more.
Oh, for sure.
So, yeah.
But you know, there's something to be said about, like, at the end of the day, we're all just people, and most people, they just want to love and be loved and be with their family and, you know, let their kids have it a little bit better than they did. And I don't care where you're from, that is universal. It's just, I mean, at the end of the day, it's like we're pretty similar.
Yeah.
We're very similar.
And you know, tying it back to Star Trek, that's the whole premise behind that. That, you know, if there are, if there is a Vulcan type civilization out there that makes first contact and shows humans that they really aren't all that different, that could be a potential driving force to unify. And I think that's something that is also missed in the day-to-day push of these things, is that people automatically assume and draw to the differences, but no one focuses on what is the same and binds everyone together.
Yeah, and that's unfortunately that's a failure of you know, our media and other things. I mean, but honestly, because we, if you think about it, like, everyone thinks the world is so terrible and awful, right? And there are terrible and awful things that happen. But, you know, I think about it from a, you know, I come from a history background, a history perspective, and I go, yeah,
we're
there's
actually
some terrible
not doing
things,
too
but
bad.
We're the best we've ever been. Uh-huh. You know what I mean? Like,
there was a stat that I was looking at since the 1980s. I forget what the exact numbers are, but the number of people who have lived in poverty in the world has dropped substantially even since just 1980.
I mean, and I can see that, but even like on this more of like even a more intangible kind of sense, but human life didn't mean that much back in the day. Not the same. I mean,
And people wonder why I point to the 1920s and 1950s for eras that need to be studied more.
Well, they probably don't understand those are important areas where dictators took power and killed millions and millions of people.
20s and 50s.
Yeah, well, I guess Stalin was a little bit before then.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. Yeah.
Okay. 20s and 50s.
I'm not speaking worldwide, just in general, the values associated with people at that era.
Oh, you're talking about, okay, yeah, I got you.
Yeah, I'm talking values. And it goes back to your comment that people don't often see the outside of what's outside their bubble, right?
So, that's true. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
All right. I think that's good on that one. If you guys, of course, want to send your questions in, you can email them to questions@rsbnb.com. We also take questions on Twitter @rsbnb. And if you're posting next week, you can find it on the thread at update.rsbnb.com/ask, where we'll be talking about the quest and more. So all of that and more on next week's RSBNB update. All right. So moving on to tech news this week. Facebook talked privacy. Google actually built it, and this is for Google I.O. week, the Google conference happening in California, where they unveil all their changes and all their new things that they want to bring forward over the next year. And, you know, this year we saw a number of things, including the Pixel 3a and 3a XL phones starting at $399, severely undercutting what Apple has on offer for even the cheapest iPhone, offering that great Pixel camera and a peer Google Android experience on a phone that's, sure, it's not as fast as a flagship phone like an iPhone XS or a Samsung S10 or even the Pixel 3, but it is fast enough and it provides a competent smartphone. And this is something that Apple has got to be watching for, as we talked about last week with Apple's earnings. Also, new beta of Android. We're not really going to talk about that because neither of us are Android users, so we really don't have much insight on how it will work. But This leads into the nub of the story and why we want to talk about Facebook with this. Android will soon offer live subtitles on all videos. So whether you're watching a video or whether it's in your camera that somebody has, like let's just say you're watching two people talking, you have that video saved on your camera, or if you're watching a video on YouTube, or even if it's in a video chat, Google will soon start adding subtitles to what is being said right underneath, and they're building this for people who are deaf or hard of hearing, but people might also want it when they're watching videos in public or they can't have their sound active. And this technology called live caption is indeed possible because they are adding in the engine that does the transcription service, you know, the voice to text service that Google Assistant and Siri type like devices use. Rather than sending your voice to the cloud for transmission, they have managed to condense this down to a 500 megabyte part of the operating system so that they can do all this voice to text translation on device. And that's how they're going to be able to do it for video calls, do it for videos on your device that you have saved to your camera roll and whatnot. And this is what Google is wanting to say with their updates this week. I don't know if anybody who's been watching their Google Chrome, you'll see that if you open up a new tab in Chrome, you'll get a notice that it says privacy works for everyone. Choose which settings work best for you. And this is Google on a privacy bent. And there was a good article that came out. That's our main part of this tech news story. Google or Facebook talked privacy. Google actually built it. And the idea behind this is that Facebook says, hey, we want to be a private company going forward. But Google's answer to that is actually already shipping with the newest versions of Android in the coming months. And this is something that Apple has long been doing, and Google is now there doing as well. And obviously Facebook wants to. They said that that's where they want to go. We'll see if they ultimately deliver on this, but Google says that this has been something that they have been working on. It started with the incognito tabs in Chrome. They also moved away from looking at direct Gmail content to target ads. And now what they're doing is they're actually looking at making it so that you need to send less data to the cloud and everything is going to be done on your own device. You're going to be able to, for example, as I mentioned, use your device and it will have transcriptions of any videos you have. They're also bringing in features that will let you use your Android device as a physical security key, auto-delete features that will automatically erase your web and app activity after 3 or 18 months if you enable it. And they also published a comprehensive privacy commitments document for made by Google products, including things like their Nest Home products as well that, of course, have cameras and microphones on them. They also say that Google Assistant will be better protected, doing most of what it needs to do on device rather than sending it away. And I think this is something that people have wanted for a long time. Google is implementing it. Apple has implemented it. And we know Facebook says they want to. Well, Google and Apple have led where Facebook is following. So I think this is ultimately a good step forward for Google. And if Google does it and Apple does it, I think the rest of the industry has no choice but to come along. So at the end of the day, we're all better off. That's my assessment on this.
Yeah, that's – yeah, let's hope.
Because, you know, what was the number one thing – like, we like our iPhones, right? And Apple has always been able to tout privacy. But for someone who is privacy concerned about Google, this does a lot to waylay that of fear, I think, right?
Yeah. Yeah, I think people get a little sketchy on Google just because they feel like they know everything about them.
Yeah, and in reality, you can go into their new privacy settings pane and just turn all that off if you don't want it. And that's what this week has been about for them, showcasing this and bringing that all forward. So even if you don't normally pay attention to tech news, I think this is something everybody should pay attention to because who in the world doesn't use Google for search, right?
Yeah, nobody.
So And who doesn't use Chrome at this point, too? It's like 60, 70% of people out there when it's boiled down. So this is absolutely amazing. And, you know, I think the biggest news of the week that no one's talking about is that Pixel 3a. A phone that you can now buy outright for $399 in the US. You remember when that was a possibility? When you could buy a decent phone for $399? And that's not even on contract. So this phone will be free if you're going on contract.
Yeah, that's definitely going to be competitive. I mean, it's definitely taking a big swipe at Apple on that.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So I think we'll have more on the Pixel 3a once it ships and the reviews come in, and we'll see what Apple does this fall. And hopefully this pushes some people in different directions. Okay. So loot boxes. And, you know, we always talk about loot boxes and whether or not banning them is an American thing to do. Well, it so turns out that Senator Josh Hawley of Missouri announced a bill that would ban loot boxes and pay-to-win microtransactions in games played by minors. And they're saying this is a broad label that will include both games designed for kids under 18 and games whose developers knowingly allow minors to engage in microtransactions. So that's Fortnite in the U.S., believe it or not. Because, you know, I think it's safe to say that the biggest demographic for that game is people under the age of 18. And the bill is called the Protecting Children from Abusive Games Act. It'll be introduced in the U.S. Senate. And, you know, in press materials announcing the bill, Hawley's team, the senators, brought up the Activision game Candy Crush as an egregious example of pay-to-win microtransactions, citing its $150 luscious bundle. They're saying games that are designed for kids, game developers shouldn't be allowed to monetize addiction. And when kids play games for adults, they should be walled off from compulsive microtransactions. Game developers who knowingly exploit children could face legal consequences. Now, if you compare this to other jurisdictions where the loot boxes have been completely banned, this is a bit of a different approach, but this, I think, is more of a middle way approach, isn't it?
I absolutely cannot believe this is a Republican senator from Missouri. The only thing that I can possibly, the only reason maybe he has a large evangelical base that look at that as like gambling. I don't know. It doesn't make much sense. I'm all for it, but that being said, it doesn't seem to fit in what I know of our political reality.
And just for anybody watching who is from outside of North America, the U.S. House won't pass this purely because it was introduced by a Republican. That is just unfortunately the way things work.
No, out. Republicans won't vote for this, Shane. In the Senate.
Republicans won't vote for it in the Senate, but even if it did make it to the House, the Democrats wouldn't allow it.
Democrats would vote for this.
You think they'd vote for it because it was – Oh yeah. Even though it comes from a Republican?
Yeah, I don't think that would – I don't think that would matter.
Well, you have more faith in that than I do then.
I guess. I mean, I don't see why – I really don't see why someone would – I mean, I know the reality, so I know why – politicians would be against this. They are being paid to be against this. Mm-hmm. But there's no reason that you should be against this. Like, you know what I mean? Like, that's crazy.
It is. Yeah. I hope it does get somewhere.
It'd be great. I mean, it would. Yeah. It'd be great.
And weren't we just talking a while back on the show that it's unlikely that such a bill would ever be introduced in the U.S.?
Yeah, I said it would never happen here. There was no way. But that's what I'm saying. This is just this. I feel like there's something here that I am missing because I don't know. It seems odd.
Well, I guess we'll have to wait and see what happens as proceedings go forward.
But I would, I mean, you could, like, I can see this coming from Elizabeth Warren.
Uh-huh.
I can see this coming from AOC. I don't see this from some Republican in Missouri. Like, that's really got me floored. It's really got me floored. But I don't care who you are. If you got a good idea like this, yeah, let's do it. Like, let's do that.
And that goes to Tycho's question, too, that there's a spirit of compromise that no longer exists, a meeting in the middle. And this might be a good example of that. But let's not get too far ahead of ourselves.
Yeah.
Our next tech news story, of course, does go back to Facebook. The Facebook co-founder who left the company years ago has called for the company to be broken up and says that Mark Zuckerberg has unilateral control over speech. And this is Facebook co-founder Chris Hughes, who wrote an op-ed in the New York Times that regulators must ultimately check Mark Zuckerberg's power. And he wants regulators to step in and immediately order to break up Facebook before it integrates its messaging services and makes it more difficult to do so. And of course, that is the combination of WhatsApp, Instagram, and Facebook Messenger. And, you know, this op-ed that was written is long, and we do have the summary here of it. He ultimately said that the most problematic aspect of Facebook's power is that Mark Zuckerberg has unilateral control over speech. There is no precedent for his ability to monitor, organize, and even censor the conversations of 2 billion people. And this is what Facebook is aiming to prevent. They want us to see that, hey, we're going to move forward with this, and we're ultimately going to rethink our privacy behind it. And if they do that, then they're thinking they won't be as big of a target for calls such as this. And, you know, I think when you have a former founder of a company saying something, it's something that needs to be watched. Yes?
We know this.
You know, there's going to be some kind of – if they were to break it up, it would, of course, be challenged in court. And that's what happened when they tried to break up Microsoft in the 1990s. And ultimately, that did see Microsoft taken down a peg. And Microsoft came back better as a better company at the end of it. And the difference, I think, at this point, though, is that if they did that to Facebook, there probably wouldn't be any coming back to it, because Facebook's success – relies on being a monolithic entity. And if it is not that entity, it doesn't have that success.
Well, that's not very capitalistic then, is it, Shane?
No, it's not. And, you know, it's bizarre to see these people who are in tech thinking of that, because, you know, if you look at Mark Zuckerberg and his Facebook back when that started in 06 or 07, whenever it was a standalone ubiquitous platform. But over the years, what people are calling for, a platform that is interoperable with all of the others, have been tested, but they haven't been able to get off the ground because Facebook is there. That's too big. Twitter is there and it's too big.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we did hear rumblings that there's going to be some push in the tail end of May to remove Mark Zuckerberg as CEO, which is a symbolic gesture at best, because he does have a majority stake in the company, so he can't be forced out. But it would say a lot if that did indeed happen. And if you combine that with this and the sudden turn towards privacy, I think people are going to be asking more questions, and Mark Zuckerberg will have to ask if, for the good of the company, he is the one to lead that forward.
Well, it worked for Apple.
Yeah.
They were better for it in the end.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, both of them were, for that matter. So can Mark Zuckerberg do the same thing? Probably not. He's not Steve Jobs.
No.
But we need a modernization of antitrust law to account for social media and the way things are. I mean, we have antitrust laws that are for steel mills, you know, like in oil.
And that's like the same thing with net neutrality. Net neutrality is based on the principles of telephone lines from the 1906.
Yeah, yeah, Yes, exactly.
So, we'll have to see what happens with this, but huge nonetheless. All right, so that's it for tech news. We're going to have a look at our other things, and in particular our skills of the month that are going on. But by the time you guys are listening to this, our Slayer contest will have started. And let's just have a look at our fire-making contest right now. Currently, we have JamAndy52 in first place with 12.3 million XP gained. Second place is Pernasius with 7.4. And third place is CompSci with 1.3 million XP gained. And this is the first of our new fire making, or our new skills of the month contest. So if you guys want to sign up for next month, definitely keep watching the space, or just head over to rsbnb.com/skotm and you'll be taken to the newest sign up form. There won't be any until the start of next month, but when it comes down to it, we definitely are interested to hear what you guys would like to do for competitions going forward. So if you have any ideas what we should compete for in June, let us know. So, all right. What do we got for achievements?
All right. Well, we got a few, starting with Jack Monk with 99 strength on May 8th. Pernasius with 120 fire making on May 7th. The Quiver with 99 mining on May 7th. And Wiki 86 with 99 farming on May 7th.
Nicely done. We also have Sex Spieler with 99 wood cutting on May 6th. Silly Cat 98 with 99 farming also on the 6th. Curtis with 99 summoning. And Rolla Dude 540 with 99 construction on May 5th. Nicely done, everyone. Nicely done.
Very cool.
All right. So I think it's time for a pick of the week. And, you know, this is one that I have had for a while. It just came out at the end of April. It goes back to 2011-ish or so. It's called Angry Birds, and it's the newest version of that series, Angry Birds AR, the AR standing, of course, for augmented reality. And, you know, AR has always been a bit of a gimmick in that, you know, hey, maybe we can put some blocks on your kitchen table, or maybe you can see what that new IKEA sofa is going to look like before you go to the store to pick it up. Well, what this does, or what this game does rather, is it takes the classic of Angry Birds, which I think everyone's played. Have you played it?
I took my daughter to the movie.
Okay. Well, what this does is it puts in a traditional Angry Birds style stage, and it is 3D. You look through your phone and you see it in your living room or on your table. And, you know, normally Angry Birds has been a 2D adventure where you can, you know, fling the birds in various directions, make them hit things, make them land through wood, hit the boxes of TNT and whatnot. And it was limited to two dimensions primarily. Well, with this, you can go above the stage, you can go below it, you can go on any side of it to find the best angle to take out the boxes of TNT or the pigs to ultimately advance through the stage. So while most games, you know, you just stand there for it, this one actually encourages you to get in at interesting angles to see what's happening with this. So if you have an iPhone, I would recommend that you give this a look. It is a free game. And, you know, it does augmented reality in a good way. It's still kind of a gimmick, I think. But given the fact it's based on the history of Angry Birds, and, you know, Angry Birds started off as something so small and it's grown ever since, I think that, you know, looking at this and seeing this, this is actually a use for augmented reality that makes sense, that isn't just gimmicky, because you can not only look at it from one angle, you can look at it from all angles, effectively 360 degrees. You can fling the birds at the targets and see what happens with this. So this is Angry Birds AR, a free pick of the week for iOS. So link is in the show notes at update.rsbnb.com.
Sounds cool. I want to try it.
Yeah. It should work on most modern iPhones, I think, as long as you have iOS 11. It should be good.
So. Okay. So finally something other than Pokemon. in the AR field.
All right. What have you been up to this week?
Mining. A lot of mining.
Really? Why?
Well, I'm trying to get to 90 so that I can be mining the Animicus, so that the alt can be making plate bodies, Elder Rune plate bodies, and then get a stack of those ready for double XP for the main.
Nice.
Yeah, that's pretty much what I've been doing. I've been doing not really Slayer with the main, but I've been parking him down in my dungeon to gather charms. Been doing just a little Dagonoff because they're you know, second to none for Crimsons. So just go down there and let it run.
Very good, very good. As for me this week, you know, a couple of herb runs here and there, a couple hours gathering divine charges, but I have started the next big goal of getting 120 woodcutting, crystallized Acadia.
Oh.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, that crystallized again.
You know.
Here it comes.
You know, I thought of doing crystal trees, but crystal trees are probably around 50k XP less per hour. I thought of doing elders if I wanted to make a boatload of money, but there's no XP in that. I'd be there for years.
Yeah. Now, there is one alternative. If you want some good rates,
okay.
One alternative, golden bamboo.
Yeah, I thought of that too, but that's limited to a couple bushels a day, right?
Is
it a bushel of bamboo?
I have no idea, but it depends. It really depends on the supplies and your will to go and look for the islands, but yeah.
Yeah. I mean, okay. Now, apparently you can get bamboo bushel baskets. But a bushel is what we use here for measuring wheat.
Okay.
A bushel.
I mean,
wheat.
I've heard that, like, on some kind of, like, farm AM radio or something, but I don't know.
Oh, it's not RSBNB update, but yeah, my arc is not set up for that, and I don't know. I don't feel like going island hopping right now. So,
well, then sounds like you're doing the right thing.
Yep. And hey, it's Menaphos.
Yeah. You need that rep, right? Get you that rep, son.
Who knew Menaphos would come down to one of the best woodcutting XP methods in game?
This guy. I think we called it when it came out.
Yeah. That's about all there is for high levels except for the soul altar, isn't there?
Yes, unfortunately not here. Yeah, that's true.
Alrighty, well, I think that's good for this episode of RSBNB Update. If you guys want full show notes, you can find that at update.rsbnb.com. You can also join us in-game at our friends chat, Bits Bytes. If you want to follow us on Twitter, you can do that too at RSBNB. And we also do have all the various options where you can subscribe to the show too to have it automatically delivered to you. Just head on over to update.rsbnb.com/subscribe, iTunes, Pocket Cast, Google Play Music, Stitcher, everything under the sun. It's all there. So, that being said, we'll see you guys next week for another episode of RSBNB Update, in which we will be discussing Desperate Times.
See ya.